Week though, because we only got through one verse, right? I mean, so I was gonna ask to remind me what we talked about, but I guess I still have it highlighted and underlined in there. What did we talk about last week as a recap? Because we're gonna continue off of that, and it's gonna feed into the rest of our message and time this morning in there. So give me a little bit about what we talked about last week as a recap. That we're all called to serve God. Amen. What else? Okay. God's given us talents to serve Him, and that we're worthy to serve Him. Because remember, as it says right here, it says that we walk in a manner worthy of the calling that's been placed on our lives. And along with that, there was that idea of, you know, if God has called us, then we have value to Him and we are worth something to Him. There was that notion as well. Now, there's one more calling that we talked about last week that I want to get out in the open before we move on. What was that last calling that we talked about? It wasn't a calling in to serve. It was a calling for what? Remember? Salvation, right? All of us believers have been called into service, into His service, into His ministry. Whether it's up here preaching, whether it's teaching a Sunday school class, whether it's just saying hi to somebody on the street, that's our ministry that we're called into. And He gives us these powerful gifts that we can hone, that we can build, that we can strengthen. But every single one of us, including believers, non-believers, everybody has been called into salvation. God's way of saying, come home to me. Remember? And so that leads into something else with the rest of our scripture here this morning. It is Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 7. And it's on page 154 of the New Testament section of your pew Bibles, under the pews there if you want to get one. And before we get into the scripture, we're going to talk just a little bit more about something else here. He says, I want you to keep in mind all of this, though, as we continue into Ephesians 4. And as we continue to contemplate our calling, what are some things that can help us in that calling? What do we all need as we try to fulfill this calling?
Praying.
Praying, yeah. Helps a lot, right? What else?
Studying.
So wisdom, knowledge, studying, right? Okay, what else? Being faithful. Amen. Loving. You guys are good. Asking your friends for help. So together, right? Okay. What else? A lot of these I didn't even wrote down. That's cool. I was thinking bigger. God and the Spirit. You know, we need God in our lives. We need that Spirit leading us and guiding us, right? Something else? No? Yeah, we need all of these things in our lives. We need helpful brothers and sisters in Christ. Okay, I have that one. And doing it together, a united front. And that's what we're going to be talking about as well. As well as some character traits that will help us along the way. So let's get into our scripture. Once again, it's Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 1. It says, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Remember that worth that we talked about last week. Let's go back to that. That worthiness. What can happen when people find themselves valuable? Or in a state of, huh? Okay. Miracles, absolutely. What else? That's awesome, though. I mean, the idea of, you know, when we realize that we're worthy to God, the things that He can and will do through us, those miracles. What else can we find ourselves or people find themselves in when they realize how worthy they are or how valuable they are or what the worth put on their lives or skills? I'm thinking pride. Well, there's witnessing as well, right? I'm flipping to the other side here just a little bit, though. That pride, that boldness, that hey, I'm worth something, right? That holier than thou type of thing. Because that's kind of what I think Paul's talking about here. Because he says, when you're walking in that manner that's worthy of your calling, and he says, do it with all humility and gentleness. He says, don't brag, don't boast. Because you know what? You didn't do anything to earn it. We've talked about that over the last few weeks as well, right? Whether it be here in Ephesians or it be in Romans on Wednesday nights, we didn't do anything to earn this salvation, to earn this righteousness, to earn this justification. It was freely given by God that we took. We accepted, actually, not took. So if we're going to boast, if we're going to brag, Paul says what? Brag in what? Brag in the Lord. Not in what you did. So everything that we're supposed to do in humility and in all gentleness. And Paul talks about this in another way in Philippians. In Philippians 2, actually, and it's verses 1 through 10. But he mentions this, do nothing from selfish ambition. He says, look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. He's not saying, don't look out for yourself. Don't hear what he's not saying. Hear what he is saying. He says, don't only look out for yourself, but look out for the interests of others. So look out for yourself by all means. Get that spiritual food. Get that nourishment that you need. Get that fellowship that you need. Just don't do it and leave out the rest of the people. Look to the interest of others before yourself. Scripture tells us to do that. Romans? It tells us to look out for each other. United now. But this whole idea of humility and gentleness, does that remind you of any other scripture? First thing that came to mind for me is 1 Peter 3:15. Always be prepared to give a defense for your faith, for what you believe in, right? And then Peter adds a little nugget onto the end of that. He says, but do so with what? Gentleness and respect. What do we call that, Christina? Be prepared, but do it in humble boldness. Two words that describe Jesus to a T. Humble, bold. He was both of them at the same time. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Well, that's the manner that he walked in. He was bold, but he was also humble. He was also gentle. He didn't back down from a struggle. And sometimes when it seemed like he was just kind of letting something slide off of him, it was more of a, made the people think. And then he goes on, he says, and also do this with patience, bearing with one another in love. That idea of patience is, you know, if you put two people in a room long enough, you're going to get on each other's nerves, right? I mean, we're not perfect. Let's face it, we're human. Sooner or later, somebody's going to do something that's going to annoy you. Or you're going to annoy the other person, right? But it says, bearing with one another in love. Elsewhere in Scripture tells us that love covers a multitude of sins. In other words, if you've at least got that love part, you've got that caring part, that together part, you know, where I'm being patient with you, let me ask you something. How patient is God with us? Any ideas? Huge, maybe, you know? And crazy huge? Because he lets us keep on doing wrong, but and still come back to Him. He's like, I'm not taking them. Remember, we've talked about this. I'm not taking them out yet because, you know, there's still that chance. God has hope for us. So if God has hope for us, what does that say about the hope that we should have for each other, for ourselves, for that salvation, for that eternity? We're not going to meet Him as far as the level of hope that He has for us. But it's definitely setting the bar up there for us to try and meet. And He says, do all of this, bearing with one another in love. If you're dealing with people that are going to get on your nerves, and let's face it, if you're working with me, I'm going to get on your nerves. got an amen up here, right? I know, right? I mean, you guys know me, but we're all going to do it. But if we've got this where we can have patience with each other, bear one another, covers a multitude of sins, covers a multitude of wrongs. Grace. There's that showing of God's grace, that showing of His love, of His character in our lives as we do these things. And then He gets in here and says that we should be eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. Because if we've got that patience with each other, if we've got that will and that urge to bear with each other in love, and we've got this humility and gentleness, but don't forget the boldness. We've got all these things together, then we can have this unity. We need to maintain the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace. In other words, folks, we're all on the same side. All I could think of when I read this part was Jesus talking about a house divided cannot stand. Now granted, He was defending Himself when the Pharisees were saying that He casts out demons in the name of basically the devil. And He's like, well, if the devil casts out demons on behalf of the devil, He's destroying Himself. You know what? If Christ's body is divided, it can't stand either. So maintaining the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace keeps us together, and we're all on the same side, whether it's the folks right here in this body, whether it's our neighbors across the street, countless other churches in our area that are part of that one united body. And you know what? As long as we can agree on that, on those core fundamentals, those core foundational things of our faith, we're good. And we're on the same team. And we're all on the same mission. And that's to go and make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Preach, teach, baptize, get the word out. And He says, there's only one body and one Spirit. We're a little part of a bigger body. And each one of you is a part of this little part. You see where this whole unity thing is coming now? Coming together? This bond and this attraction that keeps us all going together? It says there's one body, one Spirit, just as you were called into that one hope. Lots of ones in this passage. But there's so much in each one of those ones. There's not one person in that one body. There's not one church in that one body. The church. Big C. One body. Big B, I guess. Ooh, Big B coffee. One body, one Spirit that leads us, that binds us, that shows us the way and lives in and through us. There's our common bond as well. Following that Spirit, letting it lead and guide us individually, corporately, collectively, into that common goal, eternity. He reminds us also there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. There's not a multitude of choices. Jesus says there's only one way to the Father, and that's through me. Faith in Him, that one faith, that one acceptance in Him, that one baptism. It's not saying whether or not you sprinkle or whether you dunk, just so you all know. When that Spirit enters you, with that spiritual baptism, it doesn't matter who you are. There's that one baptism. Back in Paul's day, it would have been, you know what? There's no different baptism whether you're Jew or Gentile. And for us, it's really not all that different. There's no different baptism whether or not you're Methodist or Church of God or Lutheran or whatever you are. When the Spirit comes on, the Spirit comes on. In. And there, it's all for this one God and Father of all. That one God, that triune God. Three in one. Once again, there's more than one in that one. There's three persons in that one that we need to realize, that Father, Son, and Spirit. And they all have these qualities of each other, but it's one God that we worship, that we praise, and that we try to share with everyone else around us. And He is the bond that holds all of this together, this maintaining that unity, because He is over all and through all and in all. He is the strongest super glue that you can ever think of that's holding this whole thing together. That common bond. There's nothing better than seeing churches work together. There's nothing better than seeing bodies or members of the body working together, united on this united front, this common goal of sharing what we have with those around us. And this whole thing is like a funnel coming right down here to God. Because that's our goal, is funneling everything to God. But one. So much unity. So much one, because we are part of that one. And we've been welcomed into that one family, that one hope, that eternity. And then look here what He gives us here at the end. He says, but grace was given. That word, but, is such a big word in Scripture. He comes along, tells us all these things, and He says, one, but grace was given, but grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. How does God give? We've talked about that over the last few weeks too. How does God give? Abundantly. What does that look like? Get your pail out, and He fills it up, and He stamps it down, and He fills it up again, and He says, get something out to carry up the stuff that's spilling over the side. When God gives, He gives abundantly. Abundant abundance. And that's how He wants us to give too. He's our example on that as well. Don't just give just enough. When you give of yourself, you give. Whether it be your time, talent, resources, whatever it is that you're giving. You know, there's a reason that they say give till it hurts, because that way, and they're not talking about just money, folks. Sacrificial giving is of yourself. Especially your time, because you know what? I can go make more money. I can't make more time. So that time that I give is very valuable. That time that you give is very valuable. The time that Jesus gives us, the things that Jesus gives us, is abundant abundance. And He says that He's given each one of us according to the measure of His gift. In other words, He's packed you full of stuff to use for His glory. And that your little gift fits pretty well with your little gift, and it's not like a jigsaw puzzle. They come together like a common bond. To glorify God in all of this. That's our mission, ultimately, is glorifying God. But then getting as many people as we can to come with us, because He says, I'm making a home for you, and I've got, you know, there's many seats at my table, and I'm thinking, this has got to be the biggest table anybody could ever imagine. So much for us to do, so much for us to see, and we have that one united front, that one God, that one Spirit leading us and guiding us and doing all of these things for us. Excuse me. So I want you to picture how God gives and who He gives to. everybody that accepts him into his life. He gives to you, Pam, Christina, Patty, even Gavin back here, you know? Wes, Martha, anybody I'm leaving out, you know what? Your names are there too. You. How about we just do that? That's who he's given to. And he's got plenty more to give. Keep going. Looks pretty awesome, doesn't it? How does it sound? Sounds pretty amazing to me. Because it means we've got all these people that are on the same side. And he gives that to each of us individually. But he gives it to us collectively as well, the body as a whole. How does all that make you feel? Especially when we look back around to last week's message about worth. How does all that make you feel? Worthy? Needed? Part of something big? Who doesn't want to be part of something big? Just remember, humble and gentle, folks. Because we are part of something big. He's going to equip you. Amen. He's going to prepare you, as Kelly said this morning too. Amen. Keep all of this in mind as we leave here today, as we go about our lives, whether it's we go to work, whether we go to school, whether we, you know, your band show today, guys. You're part of something bigger. It's not just when you're inside these four walls. It's not just when on Sunday morning for that 1 hour or however long it may be or anything like that. That is life. That is the life that we're called into. So walk in a manner worthy of it, but know that you've got all these ones that we're called into that give us strength, that give us the ability, that prepare us for each and every bit of that. And it's all for the one that we serve and the one that we are going to praise right now in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for that reminder of unity and how to stay united, how to deal with one another in this humble but humbleness and gentleness and patience, respect, ultimately. All these things that reflect how you deal with us. It's how we show your love and your life in each and every one of us, is to reflect your image, your example in our lives. Father, help us be that example. Help us be that reflection. And focus on all of these ones that are mentioned here in that united body. The bride of Christ, the bride of your Son, the bride of our Savior, who did so much to bring us together, to bring us to you. His work on the cross paved that way to the one thing that matters most, a relationship with you. And Father, as we soak that in and as we process that and put that to work in our hearts and our minds, may that be a burden on each and every one of us to share that with others, to build that body, to continue to grow that body. Not for our glory, but for yours. So that we have something to boast about, that we can boast about all the work that you're doing. And point everything directly to you. So Father, as we leave here today, we ask you to help us with exactly that. To point people to you. To be your examples out in our communities, in our jobs, in our schools, wherever we may go, that people see you, that one in our lives. We thank you for your help in this, and we just ask that you continue to watch over each and every one of us And help us be in tune with that spirit that you plant in us as well. To follow that guidance, to follow that leadership, and to follow that love. We thank you, we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.